You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Feels like the game is slowing down for them.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis. Heroes with me, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. It is time to do the dive that we do. Week 5 preview show is upon us. Man, it does fly. It really does. I don't want to be that guy.
You were always that guy.
It was just the summer. And now here we are heading into mid-October almost, and the season is almost at the quarter pole. Oh, there's quarter poles, actually three quarters. Shut up. I mean it as 1/4 through. We're almost there.
Well, we've kind of passed it, right? Through four games, everyone finished their four games.
But now it's 17.
You're right. So midway through this week,
yes,
it would be right now.
Then we pass it.
As we speak. I feel bad, though, for our listeners, because for so long we've teased them, the Theology Podcast, as a potential upcoming show. And before the show, I got to say, we had a great Theology Podcast going, but no one was recording. And they'll
well,
never
we
hear
did.
It.
I mean, I saw it as a primer to the show that we'll produce at some point in the future.
And Dan, I think you summed it up well at the end when you said you respect everyone's beliefs.
I do.
But that's nice.
I'm not sure that I buy that, but you verbalized
what do you,
it.
What do you mean you're not sure you buy that?
What does that mean?
I want to investigate that further.
Have I left any breadcrumbs that I would not respect someone else's beliefs?
Not during the conversation we just had, because there's a lot of people listening behind the glass, and I thought that you were tying up nicely so that you couldn't be tagged with some other comment.
Okay. That was a cruel cut down that you just had.
I am not trying to cut you down.
I will remember it. It will stick to the ribs.
I will.
A la Adam and Eve.
Well, one of them.
All right, let's get to it. Get this dagger out of my back.
Well, it's not a... I spoke it to you directly,
real,
by the way.
Judas situation going on here.
There it is. All right. Today is the show where we give a full breakdown of everything to come in week 5. Remember, there is one game being played tonight. It's Colts at Broncos. Al Kirk and Kaylee Hartung. We'll have that game on Prime Video and NFL Plus, and we will have that covered on the Friday Fun Show tomorrow. But first, we get into all the games to come. So let's start as we always do. You want to get into it?
Let's go.
Let's please.
Are you back, Greg? Are you all the way back?
I'm all the way back.
This is terminology. We gave you a blow on Tuesday. You needed it. You got a blow.
Took a little blow.
And now you're back. You what?
I had a great Monday Night Football recap, though, fresh off the plane.
J.B. Long.
So that was good. That
you deserve me, that some rest back. And recovery, Greg.
You know, sometimes you we it. Catch a little bit of heat on the show about being too Rams-focused, and then the Rams get humbled and embarrassed by the 49ers, and we have the voice of the Rams on to discuss.
Well, I thought about
but
that,
too. But it's JB,
too.
So it's totally
There's
cool
There's no
with me.
Way to know who's going to win the game when it was Vikings-Eagles. I had a Vikings guy on Arif, too, so it's like you don't know who's going to win ahead of time. You don't.
Coin flip.
Someone noted it at one point, because I know you were very tired, we all were, that you called it the Rams recap. I'm not kidding, during the show. So, I mean, you know.
You might want to be a little careful with the wording
suspicious
there,
suspicious of that, too.
Let's get to the primetime games. Let's start with Sunday Night Football. Oh, Sunday night. It's a great one. It's not a great slate of games this week. Listen, it's football, so it's still great. But in terms of matchups, not a ton of great ones. But this one's very nice. The Cincinnati Bengals, who've gotten back off the mat after that ugly start to the year. That, you know, wasn't that ugly. The offensive line play was. But they lost two close games to Pittsburgh and Dallas and then beat up on the Jets. And then had that memorable, not for all good reasons, win over the Dolphins last Thursday night. Now they head to Baltimore to face the Ravens, who, Mark, have had a strange season so far, because we talk about especially so many 2-2 teams. I believe they're 15 or so right now. Like, you know, that's probably average, but it just feels like the middle of this league is so beefy. And the Ravens don't feel like a 2-2 team, but they blew the huge lead to Miami, 35-14, and then they blew a 20-3 advantage over Buffalo, both games at home. So it's like, what do you make of the Ravens right now?
Yeah, I mean, that is surprising because they've been a dominant team at home, and there are a number of 2-2 teams, too, I think, in the AFC North, where you could make a case that they very easily could be 4-0. That's not how this works. By the way, 15 teams is the most through week four of a season in NFL history. So it
nailed it.
It feels that
and
way.
And there's more close games than ever before.
The close game thing is crazy, but that doesn't surprise me anymore because I've just come to learn that every game is going to come down to the last 3 minutes. But this was the team last year that the Bengals, I thought, started to really flex their muscles and stand out as an offensive juggernaut. Burrow put up 941 passing yards against the Ravens last year. I know they were banged up in their secondary. That is the most against any team in a single season in NFL history.
Whew.
Is that offense still with us? I don't think so, because a lot of what they did against Baltimore was soft, and the Steelers was soften them up with Joe Mixon in the running game. They don't have that right now, but over the last 2 weeks, Burrow has been sacked 3 times after 13 times in the first two. So it's the line totally fixed. It has to do with who you're playing, but it does seem to be better.
Last week, right?
It takes a little time.
Run blocking counts, though, and that's worse.
Yeah, but I it does.
Joe Mixon looks a little worse, too, to me, but the run blocking is clearly worse. I think it's more about the run blocking.
But so much of it was about your franchise quarterback taking a beating back there, and at least for 2 weeks in a row, it's been lessened.
That's, to me, yes, the run game has a long way to go. I almost feel like, yeah, Mixon doesn't look quite right, but he really hasn't had a true opportunity to me either. But the you do it one step at a time, and if you can't fix it all at the same time, take care of Joe first. And Burrow went out of his way to compliment the pass blocking after the Dolphins game. And that just, if you get him feeling good and get his, you know, the swag machine going with Burrow, it just changes this entire offense.
Yeah, he's playing better, but I don't think his coach, Zach Taylor, is helping him out. Like, even in that Dolphins game, it's right back to the 1980s, run, pass. And it was a lot of, like, third and long because they don't run very well on the first two downs, and it's predictable, and he made up for it with good plays. This is an ultimate, like, what's different about these teams this season type of week five game? Because you mentioned the 80-plus points the Bengals dropped on the Ravens last year. I mean, that was embarrassing for the Ravens. And now when these two teams match up, you have one of the best big play offenses in the league in the Ravens against one of the best big play defending defenses in the Bengals. And so who wins that battle? Then on the flip side, you know who are the three least explosive teams in the NFL this year, Mark?
I would say the Panthers would be one.
The Panthers are one of them, yes. And you know who the other two are? They played each other in a very memorable game last year that the Wesseling brothers all attended. And that the Rams
Cincinnati.
Won.
Cincinnati.
At the
Super Bowl.
End of the game, Aaron Donald
the
pointed
Rams
at his
ring.
The Rams.
The Rams and the Bengals.
Super Bowl 56.
And then confetti fell. And we did a podcast.
Doesn't seem like a great argument for that stat if they both got to the Super Bowl.
No, but, this year they're the least explosive team. So that,
right. Well, we're in the weeds a little bit now, but okay.
So
I'm
now
following.
It's the Bengals offense who just can't buy a big play against a Ravens defense who has given up a lot of big plays. So it's like kind of best
How
on best,
this?
Worst on worst here.
T. Higgins, 124 yards and a touchdown and 7 catches last week. Jamar Chase is your big play guy, so I know you're always at target practice on Zach Taylor, Greggy, for whatever reason. But yeah, there is.
Ow! He's like, oh, he's like, I better change my polo.
He's an offensive coach, And you could see Chase is frustrated on the field in these games. He's not having the big weeks that became really a signature of the whole 2021 season. When you think about, what do you think about when you think of 2021? Ja'Marr Chase taking over the world.
Absolutely.
It's time for him to take over the world. And how about a primetime game against a Baltimore defense that sometimes gets in the weeds themselves and can give up a lot of big plays? I kind of like it. It felt like Justin Jefferson in London last week. He just felt due for a breakout game because these guys are too good. Ja'Marr Chase, too good to be held down. He has a big game and is the difference in a Bengals win. And ooh. I'm going to
no.
But I kind of feel it. It feels good. Feels right.
I mean, you said T. Higgins is, you know, the number two, and that's true, but I want to get the stats exactly right, but he's played in his last 17 games. I think he has over 1,700 yards.
He's a stud.
Or 1,600. I mean, that's more than stud. That's Ja'Marr Chase's numbers. He essentially has.
But Ja'Marr Chase is usually
true.
Taking on the top
absolutely.
Cornerback on the opposing team. T. Higgins probably isn't doing that if Ja'Marr Chase is on the field, but that's taking really not too much away from Higgins.
You're starting to see some of the big plays come back. I think the first 2 weeks, really, there was very little, but the pass to Higgins last week, the 59-yard touchdown. Chase has only had one catch over 20 yards, I believe it is. So
you got to change that.
That will change this Sunday.
Someone's going to be like a really good 2-3. There's a lot of 2-2 teams. I mean, part of it is by design, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL purposefully puts all the good teams against each other at the beginning of the season. They put all the bad teams against each other. You get a bunch of 2-2 where these 2-2s are not equal. Like, the Ravens feel like an awesome 2-2 who've lost two close games where they had big leads to really good teams.
I mean,
but here they still could be 2-3.
From another angle, they've collapsed in two games.
Well, Ravens angle.
No, but I mean, they look at themselves and say, you're going to be 8-8 and then have a 17th game if you blow games like this. You can't do that.
I think you're right about what happens over there on 345 Park Avenue. But how many times did we say in the first 4 weeks, man, this is too early for this matchup?
Yeah.
Is it because they want everyone 2-2?
I think they have since like 1988.
They want to even it out. Yeah, they want to even it out a little bit.
All right, let's move to Monday Night Football. The Las Vegas Raiders, they needed to win. That's why Zuster shifted into the lock of the Raiders, because they felt desperate, whereas Denver last week felt like a team that could play with a loss, and they certainly ended up playing with a loss.
You had almost a preternatural sense for that game. I felt about you.
Thank you very much. You know, after what happened earlier in the show,
yeah,
you've come back with that, and that was so sincere that even Steven, we're good now.
I know that you keep score, and so I'm trying to keep score myself with where I stand with you.
Yes, that was a major deficit reducer for you.
Good to hear.
I love you also.
Friendship, goodwill. all right, the Denver Broncos fell to the Raiders, so the Raiders get the win, and now, good thing, because now they go to Arrowhead to face the Chiefs, and there are times where you want to – well, there's never really a time you want to face the Chiefs if Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback.
Preseason?
But, you know, maybe a week ago this time, it wouldn't have felt like the worst time. But then, Mark, that version of Patrick Mahomes and the Chief offense showed up against Tampa Bay and decimated Todd Bowles and company. So I'd be a little bit nervous if I was Josh McDaniels heading into this game at primetime, no less.
Right. And I mean, these things I don't put a ton of weight in always, but Patrick Mahomes has dominated the Raiders in his career. And there's a lot of connective tissue between last year's Raiders team and this Raiders team. Chiefs are second in points per drive. They look that way. They're doing it differently than they had in the past, because Mahomes right now leads the league in short touchdown passes. They don't have a single player with a deep reception with multiple deep receptions in this season. They're doing it differently. We've seen that from the start. But the way that they operated against the number one defense in the league last week just makes you think, just like everyone else, they're using this first month to figure out who they are. If this is who they are after 1 month, I'd be very concerned for the rest of the AFC West, which in general has issues. This Mahomes team is peaking. I do want to see, though, if the Raiders, I thought what they did against Denver was a Josh McDaniels type thing where what they're trying to figure out who they are, they just ran the ball a ton and they beat up Denver's defense. And is that sustainable week after week to be that kind of an offense if they want to be more run heavy and not put it all on Derek Carr?
Well, there's so many good run heavy offenses right now in the NFL. I think they'd love to be another one. And I think that is the way you go after this Chiefs defense. I think the Chiefs defense, like many, are kind of built where you can run the ball against them if you're patient and you're effective enough. And I think that was really promising for the Raiders. I just don't know how they're going to get stops. Can Chandler Jones enter the season?
Hello?
Because the whole idea is like, oh, wow, Chandler Jones and Max Crosby, right? What a duo.
Mm-hmm.
there are a lot of great edge rushers right now in the NFL having dominant seasons. No one's doing any better than Max Crosby. He might be your all-pro.
He's Watt-esque right now.
He's right there. And yet, Chandler Jones has been very quiet week after week.
Where are you?
And we need a little more out of Chandler Jones.
Where are you, Chandler? But it's true, because if you're having that type of all-pro season, just like we were just talking about T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, that should really help out a Chandler Jones, unless he has not decided to join us in the 2022 regular season.
I mean, he pops up and makes a couple of little plays here and there, but the pass rush isn't there. We also could use like a great Derek Carr game. You know, I know he played
so could the Raiders
better the last couple of weeks, especially 2 weeks ago, I would say.
I think that was the insinuation.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for.
Oh, I thought we were just saying what we want.
No, I mean, I imagine the Raiders.
I wouldn't say we've gotten
just cross-checking
a complete Derek Carr game yet. We're 4 weeks in.
Yeah.
Let's get one.
And he's 1-7 in his career versus Mahomes.
He's had some big plays. Yes.
I'll tell you, I'd be locking the hell out of this game if it was in the lock zone, but it's just on the other side of it, so I'm staying away. But the Chiefs, I think, are going to roll. I'd love to see.
Wow.
I'd love to see the Raiders. And when we sang, and appropriately so, Josh Jacobs' praises last week. But I think they're going to be in a situation, the Raiders, where they need to throw the ball. And maybe it'd be nice to see some more Darren Waller explosiveness with Davante Adams. And
it's a lot of mental errors when Waller's targeted. Things
this season especially
go wrong. I'm curious. Like, I'm not ready to totally say the Chiefs are just the number one offense in the league and all the way back. Just because they've been a little up and down this year. Their run game was amazing last week against the Bucs of all teams. But it hadn't done anything the 2 weeks before that.
Saying.
I got the sense that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes met biweekly during the offseason, and they had that week four game against the Bucs circled. And they said, we are going to get so much revenge. We are going to break out all the good stuff for
all
that 1 week. And they got all the revenge last week. That was just like an amazing performance that they haven't shown, to me, consistently.
Yeah, the points by game so far for KC, for a team that's figuring out a new world. 44-27, 17 in that loss, 41. Second in scoring, fourth in total offense.
They're amazing.
I look at their
– they run every week.
I look at how explosive they can be right now and say there aren't that many teams in the league doing that at all.
If they can be a top eight running team, let's say, forget about it.
Forget about it. Oh, over here, this guy with the slang. the affectation of Northeastern. All right, let's get to the London game. We head to the UK. We were there this time last week. Now it is time for the Giants and Green Bay Packers.
We were in the dressing room readying for our live show at this hour.
Has it been a week already?
One week ago. If you know,
should
you
I talk about time again?
Yeah.
And how it moves so fast.
Keeps going.
You can't tell me. It feels like a full week ago we were in that dressing room.
I was pondering that actually before the show, and the last week has actually felt about 47 days long for me, so I can believe that.
The Packers are making their international debut. How about that? And all they have to do is beat the Giants. But the G-men are also 3-1 and got some pop and got some heat. So here we go. Packers, Giants, Daniel Jones. Let's see. I'm checking out the injury report. A lot of guys.
He will practice today to an extent again.
He's limited in practice. But yes, so Daniel Jones is a big piece of the puzzle here.
Sounds like he'll play.
Because Tyrod Taylor coming off a concussion as well. And, you know, one thing I don't think we really spoke about, or maybe we did, but again, Sunday show is not really something I remember. when they needed to ice that win, Saquon Barkley was running the Wildcat, and that is it gives you such a snapshot into how special his year has been so far and how much that has meant. I know they haven't been overly impressive, Greg, but
without, he has been.
Without Barkley, they'd be 0-4 right now.
No, speaking of All-Pro, is he our All-Pro running back through 4 weeks?
It's hard to
trying
say
to think
he's
of
not
someone
in the conversation, at least.
Everyone completely ignores Nick Chubb no matter what he does, but I think Saquon would edge him out in this situation.
I think it'd be Saquon.
Well, you don't think Nick Chubb's looked fantastic?
He's definitely in the
Chubb
conversation
would be in the top two or three, but they are the number one rushing team in the NFL, and it's not because of Matt Breida. You know what I'm saying? not because of Matt Breida.
Yeah,
he's not on Saquon Barkley's team.
Well, and also they
thank you for saying that.
Last week against the Bears, the reason that Barkley is so critical too, they had their wide receivers had three catches for 25 yards. They're so depleted all over the rest of the roster
right.
on offense.
Dable, show me something here because you're in a tough spot. You're going overseas. And you've gotten really creative with this running game, and he deserves some credit for this too. Saquon deserves the most, but they've been very creative how they've set it up. And you're going against a Packers team who a little soft when it comes to the run defense. It's yet another season where we enter the year. The Packers, maybe a top five defense, loaded personnel. And they come into the season and they're just average. And I would say they're well below average when it comes to run defense. So the way this matches up, it's tough to win without having some passing game. The Giants have found a way, but entertain us, Dable. Give us a lot of creative runs. Hold the ball. Ugly it up. The Londoners love it.
Yeah, you need 150 total yards from Saquon Barkley to make this a game. The Packers, that was one of the weirder games, the Packers-Pats game, because, and I know, Greg, you went back and rewatched it, so I'm curious your thoughts on this. I didn't think the Packers played poorly, and yet they were going back and forth with this Patriots team starting Zappy Bailey or Bailey Zappy. And it's just like, how did that happen in Lambeau? But it was the defense, because every time Aaron Rodgers, who played great in that game and made a ton of big throws, every time they said, all right, we're going to get control of this game, they didn't get the stop. And it makes you think if Bailey Zappy and the Pats can do it, even a diminished Giants offense potentially could do the same thing, especially in a funky environment at the Hot Toddy.
I don't see a lot of ways in for the Giants in this game. I mean, in theory, Aaron Rodgers, if you can pressure him, his passer rating drops 80 points. He's the second worst quarterback through 4 weeks against pressure. And the Giants, they've got Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau starting to come on a little bit. Wink Martindale pressures about as much as any defensive coordinator out there. But can you really see them slowing down the Packers
usually
over the course of the whole game?
It, like, good luck right? doing it's that working. Wink stuff, trying to outsmart Aaron Rodgers. As Aaron Rodgers will tell you, he's one of the smartest men that's ever lived.
It's not playing out this season, though.
So that's fair.
Has he said that
no,
about himself?
No, I'm being mean. Yeah. He just sort of gives off that. Right.
Is aware of his intelligence.
You know.
Perhaps it is immense, but
I don't know if it's immense.
Maybe it's not.
I think I've said it before on this show. I think he's a dumb guy's idea of a smart guy. No, I don't think he's a dumb guy. I think more he's a dumb guy's idea of a smart guy. That's different.
Ooh.
That's different. I think they're coming together, though. I think this could be a total blowout.
I would love to hear you say that to Aaron Rodgers.
I would not say it to his face.
He would mop you up.
He'd be like,
with his physical body.
Let's head to Jeopardy.
Romeo Doubs is coming on. He's going to have the best rookie season anyone's ever had with Aaron Rodgers. I'm pretty sure of it. Like, I know it's early, but he looks like a true... No one's ever gone above 700 yards even. James Jones was the top rookie ever with Aaron Rodgers. And I think Doubs is coming along, getting that trust. I got to say, Randall Cobb is starting to look a little better each week. Lazard is there doing his Lazard thing. Like, I feel like they're not far away from like being the Packers. They're not far away.
They're all right. If Watson doesn't drop the ball week one, Doubs, you know, that was a drop. Some people are getting hot in the pants about it. Should have counted as a touchdown, but you got to survive contact. Just make a couple of those plays, but
he has his drops, but he also has his plays where it's like, oh yes, this is an NFL receiver.
All right, let's take a break, and when we return, draft time.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
All right, here we go. Got the primetime games out of the way. We got the London game out of the way. So let's now start the draft. And picking first.
This is BS.
What? Oh, you don't like the way the cards fell for you here? Rosie? Why is it BS?
That I got the first pick in this week of all weeks.
Yeah, but why is it BS? It's not like we changed the order to like
the order is
because it's 2013 all over again. This is I got Eric Fisher and I got Luke Joko and I'm like, ooh, maybe I'll take the upside pick. Barkevious Mingo, there's no right answer.
I mean, Greg, you're telling on yourself. That was Geno Smith's draft.
Ooh,
well, he was a great value, and he's certainly the best quarterback.
There might be some great values in this draft. I mean, you can't just give up at this point.
Thank you for that amazing compliment of the Jets. Great value on day two, Geno Smith. Would not change anything.
Who did they take? They took...
I think we got Sheldon Richardson that year. I think he was Defensive Rookie of the Year. So
that was a good pick.
What a draft for the Jets. As you can see, it paid huge dividends.
When you go to like Pro Football Reference, it shows who's still active.
But they took someone before that who did not do well, D. Milner.
Oh, D, yeah. He was not a good cornerback.
There's like eight people still active in the first two rounds on that draft.
All right, but this is the 2013 draft, and Greg, you have to choose between Jokel and Fisher. What's it going to be?
I'm taking the Rams and the Cowboys as my first overall pick. Now, there's a few reasons for this, just strategy-wise. The number one goal I had once I looked at this draft board was not end up with 49ers-Panthers in the late window. There's only three games in the late window. And okay. All I want is to not have 49ers-Panthers. I'm picking first.
Right.
There's a pretty good chance you guys are going to take your late window games before I get it back. So right. My number one goal is avoid 49ers-Panthers. And then among the other two late games, I got to say Rams-Cowboys I think is a very meaningful game for week five. Neither one of these teams would be in my top 10 if I had a power rankings like Dan.
Right.
But I think it's meaningful. I think the Rams are heavy.
And neither are, by the way.
Right.
And Rams fell to 11 this week.
I think the Rams are heavy favorites in this game in Vegas, and that seems crazy to me. I'm picking the Cowboys to win this game on NFL.com/game picks because I think this Cowboys defense is legit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a terrible matchup for the Rams right now. And that's why I want to see what happens in this game. If the Cowboys can get to 4-1 in this with Cooper Rush winning four straight, and if the Rams are falling to 2-3 and really have big problems, to me, this is a meaningful Week 5 game, even if they're not two of the best teams.
I mean, the Rams, to me, feel like they're in chaos, and it starts with their offensive line. The minute that Jeremiah Colon came in for Coleman Shelton last week against the Niners, you had Matt Stafford, who they've never even taken a snap together, center and quarterback, having to basically call the protections at the line to help his center out, and then getting destroyed physically the minute the snap happened. Like, the Rams' issues start right up front. And we all know about the fact that if Matthew Stafford is going to be under duress, it's not through blitzing him, it's through essentially...
Was last week, though, they blitzed the hell out of him.
With their line the way it is, that's true, too, and that's still the situation. But the Cowboys
Hufanga.
Are essentially second in pressure rate when not blitzing, so they can do it both
Hufanga.
Ways.
Yeah, and I think Dan Quinn deserves a lot of love. Remember, everyone used to kind of make fun of him. Oh, he runs out this cover three, and that's all he does. Man, they change up what they are doing week to week, and they have a veteran group that can handle that in the secondary, in the front end. Like, they're very creative. They change it up about as much as anyone, and I think they'll do it this week, too.
And, yes, the defensive coordinator deserves a lot of credit, and the backup quarterback, and the defense itself. But sometimes people don't want to give credit to the guy in the big chair. Oh, yeah. Some zaddy energy from Mike McCarthy all season long has helped right this ship. And when a reporter this week said, you guys are underdogs, listen to this zaddy heat, I call this. Mm.
How often do you use the point spread to motivate the team?
I don't know if I ever have. I have. I, what is it this week?
5-0.
We're underdogs? We're good. All right. Just wrote my Saturday night speech. I'm good. No, I've never used it. But I'll just say this. We're nobody's underdog. So if you need a quote.
I'll take the quote. We're nobody's underdog. That's some big Zaddy energy. Because a Zaddy, a true Zaddy, is someone who doesn't care what conventional wisdom is. Just, I'm Zaddy. Follow me. I'll lead you to safety. I will give you safe from enemies. I'll keep you safe from enemies. And I will take you to the promised land. That's what Zaddy's bringing. And he does it with just a little bit of...
I agree with you. I think there are different...
Zaddy, stop it.
There are different versions of Zaddy's. He certainly falls into one of his own categories.
Right.
Zaddy, you're so extra.
That little definition of what a Zaddy is, just like I can imagine Dan just like asking his lovely wife, Emily, to just like repeat that to him.
This is what I think. I think everybody can have their own Zaddy definition, but think about a big old bear. And I think that's what I think about Mike McCarthy. And there's a big bear cave and there's all this danger outside the cave. And everyone's saying, oh, we should run. And then Zaddy goes, no, everybody get in the cave. I got you.
And be eaten alive.
Not with Zaddy there. You don't have to buy into the Zaddy energy of Mike McCarthy.
No, I'm saying
but
that
the proof is in the pudding at 3-1.
Subcategories of Zaddy, and he absolutely is
right.
One.
You know who the Rams could use getting a little more Zaddy energy from? Raheem.
Coming after Raheem.
I'm not coming after him. I'm just saying the Rams are at the point in the season where we know the offense is weeks away from being functional or at least carrying the team. Let's go defense. The defense for the Rams always cranks it up around December, which, you know, to be fair, is when it kind of matters.
Feels like a good time.
This feels like a good time. Like, let's dominate a game, Rams defense. They've been fine. They haven't been bad, but they've just been fine. They have not been where they were carrying the team to that Super Bowl. And they could really use a game where they make the big plays, where they make Cooper Rush make the mistakes. Because otherwise, I don't know how they win this game.
Some swagger on the Rams side. Bobby Wagner speaking on Cooper Rush and his ability to play well with pressure. Said, just because a guy has been good against the blitz so far doesn't mean he'll be good Sunday. So the Rams feel like they can get to Cooper Rush. And I mentioned on the Tuesday show, when you watch that game, yes, the stat line looks amazing again for Cooper Rush, but he had two interceptions that were wiped away by penalty. I think he can make mistakes and perhaps will in this game, because I don't think Los Angeles is feeling in a good mood after getting embarrassed on Monday night. We have a lock of this game.
Wow.
It's outside this room.
Okay.
Hey heroes, I'm here at the Cincinnati International Airport. The wife and I celebrating our wedding anniversary today. And she's a pretty cool wife, because she said, let's go watch FC Cincinnati take care of business against DC United Sunday afternoon. And for a nightcap, we'll go watch the Bengals take care of business against the Ravens.
That's pretty
now,
good.
Now Tim really wanted to lock the Bengals up here. I don't see it though. I could see him winning, but I think it's going to be a tight game, and I'm not confident enough to lock it. However, Mike wanted to go with the Jets because he loves Dan so much. Can't see that one either. Phil wanted to go with the Chargers, and I could see that one. We're kind of on the fence. Then Eddie said, hey, let's go all out. Take the Cowboys. Cowboys on the road against the Rams? Interesting. But I can't see it happening. Come on, Ed. There's two things we know about you. You're a confident guy, and you're wrong most of the time. The Rams take care of business.
Wow. So
lock it up.
Really good.
Happy anniversary, babe.
The Cincinnati Zoo, and happy anniversary to Nick.
And it's a great wife move. Good job, Stephanie.
Yeah, Nick and Stephanie, the anniversary. So they're not even – these are – at this point – they don't even, like, figure it out together. It's run by Nick, and then if Nick doesn't like it, he'll go the opposite way?
I mean, he's taken clear charge of this. It's his third straight message, so.
That was rambling, and then I didn't understand. He just totally flipped Eddie's pick just to get back at Eddie.
Again, that's why it's the Zoo. All right, let's now move to the second pick. It is Mark Sessler's choice.
Greg, I agree with your strategy, number one, about getting this late-game window out of there, but I like this game a lot. And I'm taking Eagles at Cardinals, 4:25 p.m. on the East Coast, if that's where you live. Different times elsewhere.
Okay.
I want to see if Kyler Murray, what they did in the second half last week against a bad Carolina team, can it translate? All seven of his pass and rushing touchdowns that come in the second half, they
you
have been...
You took the Cardinals again, huh?
Yeah.
every week this year.
But I'm taking this because of the Eagles, because I actually haven't had a chance to watch the Eagles on Sunday as a game I covered. Hmm. And I find them to be, there's just a lack of dominant teams out there. Are they one of them? I don't know. They've been that team so far. There really isn't a weakness. Their defense, number one, has caused total havoc. And I'd look at Jalen Hurts and just see the way that there was a touchdown he had last week where he barreled into the end zone through two defenders. I love this quarterback. His teammates love him. I think their offense is super varied because of what he brings to it. And to me, Arizona's defense, we saw what happened against Kansas City. They have not figured out that side of the ball. This could be a wipeout on the road. And that is why I am so confident that I will be locking up the Philadelphia Eagles. And I've switched my lock about 7 times, so we'll see how this goes.
Hmm. Can you switch it again? Because this was my lock, too. I don't like us being on the same lock.
Oh, you guys don't have good lock chemistry.
No. You can switch.
When Zeus and Ceci lock up, it's good. When Greg, it's oil and vinegar. When it's Rosie and Ceci.
Yeah.
That's not going to go well for you guys.
Well, my whole thing is I just try to lock against the Cardinals whenever possible. I think I have almost every week this year. Not last week. They're just, to me, one of the worst teams in the league. That's why all these two, like, they have the same record as the Ravens. And it just, I mean, they found a way to beat Carolina. I respect that. But to
no
me,
lollipops.
We need to respect that too much, though.
They're just so
to hand out lollipops.
Thin up front. They are a
pat
team
head, maybe.
That knows yeah.
seems adequate.
Right, that they don't have the personnel defensively to just play straight up. So they're basically going to blitz almost every snap. I mean, every other snap. I think they're second in the league in blitz percentage. And that was the idea. You saw Tampa do it well against Jalen Hurts a year ago, certainly in the playoffs. And I thought it was really interesting last week that the Jaguars defensive coordinator, Mike Caldwell, came from Tampa. And I thought they did a lot of the same things that Tampa did in the playoff game. And it did not bother the Eagles whatsoever. This will be a cleaner game in terms of the weather is not going to be a problem. But I just don't think you can blitz Jalen Hurts like crazy anymore with those two guys winning man-to-man on the outside.
They've been dominant on the ground, like two performances of 200-plus yards. They have 10 touchdowns on the ground. They can do it all. And I mean, I'm trying to think, that Bucks-Eagles playoff game feels from another universe right now because I can't think of a team or a quarterback that have evolved more between now and then.
I think Kyler Murray had some things to feel good about in that game. That was a real defense. I like that the comeback did not come from like, hey, Kyler, go make some crazy plays. It was Kyler Murray making a comeback from the pocket with a lot of beautiful throws. And Marquise Brown, who people got on for asking out of Baltimore, he's making himself some money. You can't say that it's backfired on him. He's going to put up a huge season, and he looks legit. He's earning himself some money.
There is a scenario because it's been everything around the Cardinals has been negative pretty much since really December of last year when they began their fade. But if you want to spin positive, yes, they've come out of a rocky start to this year at 2-2. They get the Eagles, who are on top of the world, but they're not. They can't. It's not like they can't be beaten. They fell behind 2 touchdowns to the Jaguars last week, and you get them in your building, and maybe you can get a win here that changes everything in terms of the vibes around the organization with DeAndre Hopkins now coming into view in a couple weeks. And if he comes back and he's DeAndre Hopkins and Marquise Brown is healthy and a big playmaker on the other side, then you might have something here with the Cardinals. But this is I think it's a pretty good lock. I think it's you feel like the Eagles, the way they're playing, especially how poorly the Cardinals get out of the gate. Cliff Kingsbury, you want to take some people to task. And I know this isn't the first I'm not the first person to do that. But find a way to get your offense going before the third quarter, because against an Eagles offense that's killing everybody, you're going to be down 28-7 by midway through the third quarter if you go down that road again.
No, keep presenting that other scenario where the Cardinals change their season around, because Mark is feeling very tenuous about this. He brought up before the show how anxiety-ridden he is about this lock, and he mentioned 3 different potential locks, and this wasn't even one of them. You maybe want to do the Thursday night game, which
I was
thinking about the Thursday night game, too.
I mean, you seem more flustered,
another one.
You can't handle the fact that two people are locking up the same thing.
Isn't that a little bit strange, by the way? This is a Greg thing. Why does it bother you so much when Like, why do you need the spotlight for your lock?
No, I think it was way back when
we can figure that out.
When we started, why would that matter?
It's your turn.
I mean, why can you not team up with another human to accomplish something?
There was something about early when we did this lock comedy that we should each just be on our own. I don't know why. That just seemed more like
that
a...
was never. But you never had any grasp of what makes the segment great. I had to make sure you couldn't put it under the ground.
Well, I did
as you know.
I did out of almost apathy because you guys were just sick of me winning year after year after year. But that era has ended.
Really,
with
where's
a
the
thud,
trophy?
With a thud.
Yeah, where is that trophy?
I said it's ended with a
in
thud.
My study.
Not accurate.
Under the chandelier. All right, let's move on. Zeuser's up. Mike it. I like this value pick here. Steelers at Bills. Anytime I get to watch the Bills on a Sunday is fun. They are, to me, obviously one of the great teams in the league, and Josh Allen, watching him play football and getting paid for it, sign me up. What do I need to see from the Bills? I'm going to ask you boys that. What do they need to get better at? But the Steelers, if this was still Mitch Trubisky universe, I would not be picking this game, but there is some juice to this team with Pickett involved and the fact that he really does add a dimension to this offense. Now, he's going to make mistakes. He made mistakes against the Jets that played a big role in them getting beat, but he also went in there and showed no fear, scored 2 touchdowns on the ground, took a bunch of shots downfield, and I think we're going to see more of that. And I think part of they have to be that way because if they try to have a conservative game plan against the Bills, this team has never won Pittsburgh with T.J. Watt out of the lineup. They're 0-7, I believe it is, lifetime. So, yes, the Bills are going to score, and the only way the Steelers keep it close is if Pickett is kind of a revelation in his first career start. It's probably not going to happen. I'd lock the hell out of this game if I could, but I want to see.
This is a 2 touchdown.
You cannot.
I'm just curious to see how Pickett reacts in this circumstance because he's going to have to throw the ball.
I love what Pickett said this week. He basically said, like, I am not gun shy. I'm going to get the ball to these guys in one-on-one. Because this is what the wide receivers were complaining about in Pittsburgh. So at least give it a shot and see how it goes. I mean, he does have a gunslinger type of persona to him on one level. His confidence is very high. It was time to do this. This is not last year's Steelers team on any level, though. Defensively, without Watt, you just mentioned they have 3 sacks in their last 3 games. I don't like that going up against Josh Allen. You said, what do the Bills need to do to get better? I mean, technically, I just think it's get healthier. But even with all their issues in the secondary, they're still the number one pass defense in DVOA. So how do you do that if you're Kenny Pickett, go up against one of the best coach defenses in the league, and somehow, at the same time, with your defense, which is undermanned, slow down Josh Allen? I think the Bills are probably agitated after the way they got out of the gate slowly against the Ravens. I don't see that happening again on any level.
Right. This is such a tough matchup. To me, the Bills' defense is one of the top 3 or 4 most meaningful developments of the first month of the season. Not that they haven't had a great defense before, but the fact that I look at this pass rush and it shows up every single week, and I believe that's going to be there to the end. And this is like a superpower that actually is a little better defensively than I even expected going into the year. And I know they have had injuries and they're not going to get Micah Hyde back, but they are preventing big plays. They only gave up 20 points to Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. I know there's rain there, but that was the most explosive offense in the league, and I just really trust them. Yeah, but I want to see what Pickett does, because I almost thought he got a little undersold what happened last week. The interceptions weren't great decisions, but more than that, they were bad luck. I mean, both of them hit the receivers hands, literally.
He was late on the deep shot first.
Both bad decisions.
Second shot was thrown into coverage.
But you see,
third was not his fault.
Yeah. Both bad decisions, but you could replay those plays a lot of times and get no interceptions.
Well, don't we forgive him to some degree for it being his first start?
Sure.
I mean, the bigger thing, though, is
he had 3 or 4 dimes in that game.
Right.
The pass he made to Freiermuth, where he was getting absolutely smoked by one of the Jets defenders. It was a defensive tackle.
I think it was Quinnen Williams.
It was incredible. And then he had a couple where, yes, he gave Pickens a chance to make a play, showed very nice touch. I liked what I saw out of Kenny Pickett, and I really liked it in the preseason, too.
Should have started against the Jets, but, you know.
Should have started from week 1, because now here he is starting, and they've got the hardest schedule in the league for the next month.
It was sus, as the kids would say. It's snakes to me. Here we go. Let's do it. Jets-Dolphins.
Good. That shows respect, because I don't like it when you leave that game out there when it's actually a good game, because I would take, you know, but we're not like allowed to take it.
I try not to do that because I try to keep the sanctity of the draft intact. The Dolphins at the Jets. Really interesting here. Let's start with the Miami side. Obviously, Teddy Bridgewater will start in place of Tua, who was immediately ruled out earlier this week. And we talked about it a little bit on Tuesday. They're in a tough spot, the Dolphins, because they know everyone's watching them. So it becomes a situation like, how long do they feel comfortable keeping him out? He'll probably be back next week. But for now, it's Teddy time against the Jets defense. It's been pretty hot or cold. In general, hot and cold, more cold than hot, I would say. But at the end of the four games, they're 2-2 because they've gotten some timely stops on defense and their offense has come to life. So I think for the Dolphins, is can they keep the offense moving with Teddy Bridgewater? I think they will, because, again, the reason I think Tua in part has thrived early on is because he makes quick decisions, gets the ball out, and is accurate, and then lets all these studs, headlined obviously by Waddle and Tyreek, do their thing. And I think Teddy can do that as well. And on the Jets side, I just want to see some growth now. I thought that was really fun to watch Zach Wilson and how he came on at the end of that game, 6 for 6 in the final drive, really did look poised and made some big throws. But a home game, another chance for the Jets to establish themselves, is a little bit different than past years. I feel like this is going to be potentially a fun game, a close game. That's my hope anyway.
I mean, Zach Wilson completely won over his teammates with that fourth quarter. And I think for the psyche of the team and for Jets fans in general, because I think you were stunned by that, right, Dan? The way it happened?
Yeah. I mean, it looked like, just like the Cleveland game, it looked over. And then the fact that they were able to go on that drive, get the interception of Pickett, and then go right down the field again. It was really impressive. And again, I'll use the word poise with Zach Wilson. Sometimes in his accuracy, he's very hot and cold as a passer himself, and he needs to make the easy ones. He's got to get that part of his game figured out. But his ability to move around, evade the rush, make plays that Joe Flacco would have been dead and buried on, you saw it immediately in that first game.
I don't see it as a big downgrade to Teddy, because I think you've got a similar type quarterback in the sense that the accuracy is there. He meshed well with Tyreek Hill a week ago, and it's on Sauce Gardner and the rest of the defense to slow down Waddle and Tyreek Hill. And I don't think that this was probably the best backup quarterback in the league. So we were talking about him as taking over Tua's job had Tua stumbled in the offseason.
I think it's such a quarterback-friendly system. Teddy should be fine, but it's a great test for Sauce Gardner, who was Daniel Jeremiah's number one rookie in the league so far this year. DJ Reed's been really good, so now these two cornerbacks are getting a lot of love. Big time test for Sauce. I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see a little Mike McDaniel, Robert Saleh for the first time. Former teammates,
colleagues
in San Francisco. You know, Robert.
Do we call them teammates if they're on the coaching staff? Which is colleagues.
Okay. I mean, but Saleh was the guy who the big kind of handsome guy getting all the attention on the sidelines, and then there was just like old little Mikey on the sidelines, not really getting too much.
Something? Do you see something there? I feel like you're connecting with Mike McDaniel.
No,
at some level.
I mean, okay.
Everybody looking
at Robert
the big beefy. No, Mike Florio at PFT. It's like, what about me? I should be noticed too. I'm Mike McDaniel.
I think what I like is that there's an AFC. The East coaching matchup where they're from the same tree, and it's not a freaking Belichick tree. It's nice to have a little different. But I really do think that's interesting when two coaches who could be going against each other for a long time are matching up for the first time, and it's offense versus defense. That part of it is a lot of fun.
And I love the idea that maybe the Jets-Dolphins rivalry, which has been dormant for a long time, it's reborn here, but the Jets need to play up to their ability. You mentioned DJ Reed. There are two MVPs of this team so far. DJ Reed, who's been all pro-esque. He has not allowed a touchdown. He's not allowed a catch over 20-plus yards. One catch of 15-plus yards, 32.9 QB rating. This is from Zach Rosenblatt, the new beat writer for The Athletic. And he ranks fourth among QBs in snaps per reception allowed, according to PFF. He's been awesome. So Sauce has been really good. So the cornerback situation is good. And give it up for Elijah Vera Tucker, who was a left guard as a rookie, the former first-round pick, kicked over to right guard for this year. And then in a little surprise move by the Jets, who have been absolutely savaged at the tackle position by injuries, kicks to left tackle against Pittsburgh and plays really well. So that
his, is he going to stay there?
Until one of these guys comes back off IR, he will stay there. But that was part of what the Jets were so excited about with Vera Tucker, was that his versatility. And, man, to step up out of nowhere and play left tackle at a high level, that's huge.
There's like 5-6 teams right now that are down to bare bones at left tackle. It's been that kind
of season.
Some
good ones, too, the Ravens.
Right. And so for the Jets to climb out of that, that's not the team I would have picked. So,
but their whole season, I mean, they are such a better team than they were 2 years ago. They just have more players. They really are. And that, you know, that's the Joe Douglas's credit. But this whole season's about Zach Wilson. And I thought that was a really intriguing first start for Zach Wilson. It wasn't just the fourth quarter. He had a throw in the first quarter where he ripped an opposite hash timing route to Elijah Moore that just showed off all of his arm strength. That was like a Josh Allen type of throw. And the thing I was really excited about is he delivered that ball like 5 steps before Moore made his break. It showed incredible anticipation. When Zach Wilson threw the ball on time in that game, I thought that was his best game as a pro. I thought it was better than that one he had in week 16 last year. I think he showed some real maturation. Now, that said, there were other plays that were like the plays themselves were roller coasters. And once he holds on to the ball, you can almost hear his mind.
Yeah, it speeds up.
Like going second read, third read, fourth read. What is happening? And so there's like major ups and downs. But that's what you want to see. At least I thought there were 4 or 5 really impressive plays in that game by Wilson, which you just didn't see as a rookie.
He's definitely
hit the weight room. Looks beefy.
It's got to stay healthy, too.
I would love for him to string another good start in a row, because then you could really start to buy in on this. But we shall see. Let's take a break and the draft will move on.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
All right, we are back. So Tugboat just hit the double.
It's time for the Sunday Drive presented by Toyota.
And then Mark Sessler is on the clock.
All right, I'm going to go Chargers at Browns. Chargers have owned Cleveland last couple times out with Herbert in there. I mean, it's just Cleveland's defense, I think, is a sitting duck on that front. We'll see what happens with Myles Garrett. He's been practicing. Clowney's not been around. If you have no pass rush, I don't like that situation at all. I think it comes down also to Cleveland's offense, which has been metrically and to the eyes a nice surprise, this offense with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. I mean, he's made a couple killer mistakes late. That whole Jets loss opened up with the Brissett interception. He had a bad one last week. But other than that, honestly, he's been really clean. And I thought he's gotten guys open in that offense. offense, and they've run the ball so well. The key matchup here for me is Nick Chubb. He's gotten about 85% of his yardage. And again, I do think he's looked like the best back in the league next to Saquon Barkley. On outside runs, he's dominant that way. He's just been a dominant runner on that front. And the Chargers are essentially the worst team in the league defending that. So that's like Cleveland wants to. I know it sounds vanilla, but they've almost been 4-0 by just going with the formula. Like, let Nick Chubb operate at his height, and you got a chance to win these games, and you got to find a way to close them. You can't. I see this thing being close to the end, and if they were to lose this thing in a close game and go 2-3, you have to say it's one of the more frustrating beginnings for a team out there because of the way they've lost these close games. They have a chance, I think, to be a team that's alive when the quarterback that they brought in, Deshaun Watson, is returning to the team, and I think Jacoby Brissett deserves a ton of credit for how he's played. I don't think anyone thought he would have done this.
No, I think it's totally covered. Him and Nick Chubb and Stefanski have totally covered up a defense which just seems really poorly coached to me. They're 30th in DVOA.
It's like the scheme doesn't work.
They're not as bad in the traditional numbers, but it's partly because the Browns offense just hold the ball for so long and are efficient in not putting their defense in bad positions. It was embarrassing how they got run over a week ago, even though they were playing three linebackers. I know Myles Garrett wasn't there, and he's going to be back, but Garrett doesn't make that huge of a difference. Maybe they win that game. I don't know, but giving up 14 straight runs like they did, and then there's always confusion in the back end. Denzel Ward's given up a lot of plays. I know he had that interception a week ago, but there just seems to be something missing, which is unfortunate. If they just could improve to average defensively, then yes, they might be 4-0, and I would expect them to win this game. I did pick them in this game. I think they're a little better than the Chargers, but I would have drafted this if you didn't, because I just am so curious. I don't know who's going to win this game. I'm very curious.
I think it's huge for the Chargers that Jamari Sailors come in for Rashawn Slater and looked good last week. I mean, that could have been like the Achilles heel that essentially thwarted their offense.
Yeah, and I thought watching the Texans game, but you know, they didn't do a great job closing out that game, and it really did, watching it, because last week was such a whirlwind for us, I was stunned. Like, the Texans, after a turnover, had a chance.
They were in the red zone
with a chance to go ahead late, and the Chargers were charging it up, and Houston is what Houston is, so they were able to escape with that. But so yeah, there's still things to be concerned about. Obviously the defense, losing Joey Bosa is huge, but it was promising to see Khalil Mack get a huge sack in a big spot there. He needs to step up and kind of carry that front seven while Bosa's out. And Herbert looked healthy and was zinging the ball like Herbert. So you add in Eckler getting going with the three touchdowns. This is going to be a good matchup. I think this will be a close game because I think the Browns are going to keep on playing close games unless it's one of those situations, like you're saying. Is the defense so out of sorts and Myles Garrett, is he in? Is he out? We don't know yet.
Sounds like he'll probably play.
Right, but what version of him?
Probably out, though, still.
Is this
Keenan
a situation
Allen,
where,
by the way, is now reaching a month where he hasn't played? That's been
Yeah, that's a problem.
Them.
And, like, the Chargers, for as much as we love him, we love the quarterback, have we seen them really explode on offense yet and have that big game? Is it coming in this game? They went off against the Browns last year. We shall see.
J.C. Jackson needs to show up for them. He's been hurt, and he's been maybe the worst
player.
They
botched that from the very beginning.
And the worst player in their secondary. Normally, this would be the matchup where you'd be like, oh, they put him on Amari Cooper. It's one versus one. But the way he's playing right now, I don't.
If you look at their roster, they have to be one of the more disappointing teams in the AFC in general.
All right. That was the Sunday Drive presented by Toyota. Up next in the draft is Greg Rosenthal.
Okay, I got to take Saints Seahawks because my guy Geno is in this game. And I didn't like just hearing how great Geno was doing last week and not watching it live.
Sure.
So I want to take this. And I like mess, and this is just all mess. There's no way that this game isn't going to be messy.
1 second. When did they stop giving the London teams a bye?
The teams themselves requested not to have these post-London buys. Oh. They didn't like having it early in the season. Good question. I was thinking the same thing.
Does that just start this year?
I think last year some of the teams that went to London did not take a post-London buy, and some did. The teams were like, we don't want an early buy in general, and we'd rather just put it off, and it's not.
Wage through the exhaust. I mean, if we were football players having just returned back from London, I wouldn't necessarily want to jump right back and play a game this week. But
well, we did, though, and the equivalent of what we do.
Right.
We were right back in the lineup.
I'm not sure that physically,
Monday,
like from
Tuesday.
A taking physical punishment angle is the same.
I think it's that's why we're not. Sometimes we'll get like, oh, why do you call yourself heroes? We're here right now.
Right, we're broadcasters.
So plug in. Just, go ahead, Greg.
Just can we develop a defense, Seattle? Because the Geno thing is a fun story. But imagine how fun this Seahawks team could be if their defense starts to improve. Then they can stick around, I think, in this NFC West race, that their offense is a legitimate weapon. It's not just because of Geno running the offense. It's because Rashad Penny is still stuck on that 6 yards per carry number. We're at it like a year and a half now where he's just running for 6 yards per carry. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Their two tackles, who are both rookies, are playing really well. Geno's finding Lockett and Metcalf in good situations. Like, I think they could be a story that is going to bother you all season long. If their defense can actually step up and just not be league worst, just get us to average, Pete Carroll.
I mean, they're last in yards and points per drive. The defense, they've been that way all season. I mean, there's a reason that shootout with Detroit happened,
and they're very young.
No, of course,
so
it's
maybe
young.
There's some hope.
But I think
here.
Like it's like the Smith thing. Now watching him over four games, like I kind of Greg initially was I it. I know you're always pounding the table for it, and I think that's sort of where my annoyance came from. But like watching him last week. Like, it's legit. He's playing great. He's playing the best football of his career, and they're not just scheming around him. I mean, he's now with DK Metcalf. There's real chemistry there.
They've thrown the ball down the field a lot.
Yeah, I mean, they're not that limited on offense.
You have to give a lot of credit to how their game plan is set up, too. I mean, they're putting Geno in position. Geno has never been a 70%+ completion guy. Like, accuracy was never his calling card, so to see him doing that, there's some scheme in there.
To be fair,
he hasn't
played in like 9 years, so like consistently.
Right. It wasn't like
I'm
he
just
was
saying that's a long
on
time.
Alcatraz during that time. It's because he was, you know, widely thought to be a backup, and I still think that's who he is. And like I said, let's see where things fall come January. But for right now, he is absolutely playing great. Rashad Penny's playing great. DK Metcalf, when he's not on the poop cart, playing great. So there are some things to get excited about. Still, I don't know if they could stop anybody, but this feels
step
like
up Saints defense,
a good
though.
Spot for Seattle again.
The Saints defense,
really?
I thought
they're pretty big underdogs here. I do like Seattle to cover.
They did a good job against Minnesota last week. I mean, they shut down drives.
They were good, but they I agree with you, Mark, but they've been like 9th or 10th or so in most stats this year. And the idea was Dennis Allen, you're bringing him back. You're bringing all these veterans back. There's a lot of talent on this defense. They need this defense to be special. They haven't been special.
Why should the Saints at this juncture be favored against anybody really outside of the real dregs of the league?
I agree with you, not by five or six.
That's some respect. That's some serious respect for the Saints and a Saints team that, you know,
they are getting Alvin Kamara back. It sounds like that could be helpful for Andy Dalton.
Right,
well, I think Andy
it's
Dalton
so
probably fits
with
Alvin Kamara a little bit better if you're going to dump it off to him and try to make something of him.
They gotta figure
versus
that
Winston
out. They got to make him a focal point of the offense. And Michael Thomas looks like he'll be out again. We're not sure, but he is not practicing. All right.
Lions and Patriots. This is crazy. I think this is the first live Patriots games I've had. That's sort of sad. But
he's back, baby.
I'm glad it's this week because it's got the team of ATL. It's got the Patriots. Both of these teams are looking at this game, and they're saying, juicy, this is a winnable game. But
hey, Lions, do we need to give the Lions a pep talk?
I don't know.
We make you a team of ATN. Go win a game. You play to win the game. Win a game. Go to New England against Zappy Bailey Zappy, or a really compromised Mac Jones, or Brian Hoyer, whoever it is, get a couple stops and win a game 27-14. Hell, 27-24.
This is the Lions. The score
will.
It doesn't matter who's playing, the score has to end 41-38.
This is a very special honor. It is a very special honor. We haven't even done it for a couple of years. Do not go to Foxborough in 2022 and not come away with a W.
And yet,
I
think watching this Patriots team, which team do you think's played better the last few weeks? I think it's the Patriots.
Pats are getting there. They're getting there.
Well, what side of the ball? I mean, Detroit's offense has been completely on fire.
Had like statistically the worst defense ever.
Well, I know, but that's the only reason. Yeah. Like, if they had it, you talk about Seattle having a competent defense. Lions would be 4-0 right now.
That's absolutely
their
fair.
Offense
and that's why
it's
like
astonishing.
Aaron Glenn, what you're doing is not working, bro. Like,
at some point, hey, we're going to be aggressive. That's who we are. Well, who you are is terrible. Stop being so aggressive.
Well, Campbell came out and said it. We played it on the Sunday night show. He didn't want to kill Aaron Glenn, but he said, we're going to be asking questions, and you can expect there to be changes in how they're going about things here.
They're another one of these teams that blitzes like crazy, and they leave their cornerbacks on an island, and Oruwariye is giving up so many big plays. Jeff Okuda, who was having a good season, was not last week against DK Metcalf. They're asking too much of these guys. Their injuries are almost all on offense, so there's not really a great excuse why this front seven – especially, which on paper, they drafted a lot of players, not just Hutchinson, but at defensive tackle. It's not working. They're not getting pressure. Even with the blitzes, they're not getting pressure. And this is a dangerous game for both these teams, because I think one of these teams is going to be 1-4 and be deeply disappointed by being 1-4.
I mean, you say make a stop, Dan. You're right. I mean, they have had...
Just a couple.
Their defense, they've only made a couple. In 15 trips to the red zone, teams have had 13 touchdowns. And it's like if you're Jared Goff, you've gone and thrived on offense with a bunch of people. DeAndre Swift's not going to be in this game. Amon-Ra St. Brown has missed games. I mean, you've done this
without... He's probably out too. DJ Shark, we didn't even mention, who's been great for them, missed last week and might be out this week,
this
too.
This team is very unified. We saw that in Hard Knocks. But when teams start to crumble and a fissure forms, it's because one side of the ball is simply letting the other side down week after week. I mean, what more can you ask Detroit's offense to do at this point? And they're sitting there looking at potentially 1-4. I don't know if the Patriots on offense are going to be able to provide the explosive plays.
They can run, though. These are the two worst run defenses in the league, according to DVOA, 31 and 32. And this is the backfield I feel like Bill Belichick's always dreamed of. I don't think he's ever had two pure runners this good at the exact same time. They're always trying to draft these guys in the middle of the rounds, and so they don't spend on running backs, and they're always trying to spread it around, and they hit home runs. Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson are awesome runners. And and on paper, they can run block pretty well. They have some missed assignment, but remember everyone made fun of old Cole Strange back on draft? Cole Strange is getting it done.
But is that a surprise?
Not totally. Yeah. They've got a good little rookie class here. Jack Jones is playing great at cornerback. Marcus Jones is a fun little return guy. Like, they've got some people I think that they could be excited about, but they got to start winning some of these games.
I think we predicted Cole Strange, after all the bits, was going to be an all-pro and then sign a huge contract with someone else, and then the Patriots get a pick, and it would be, you know, glory forever.
When it was him one-on-one against Kenny Clark last week, and he was making some blocks, so I was like, gosh, Bill did it again.
Guys, come on. We know you're banged up on the offensive side, but we've already seen that you could score even when banged up in offense.
Can we jump ship from a team of ATL team?
If we didn't jump from the Mitch Trubisky Bears.
I don't even remember that being an actual thing that we did. But
we'll never.
You know what it was? I think Wes was kind of into them. And then we sort of did forget about it as the season went along. They got no pop.
Well, we could do that.
I don't want to do that,
though. No, I don't want
to
do that.
I feel like to be true to the team of ATN, you need to ride or die. And if you end up eating poop over it, eat the poop.
Look, they win here. They're in a good place.
Because they're still – here's the thing with the team of ATN. People that are – stop. The thing that needs to be understood, they don't need to win the Super Bowl. It's not like, oh, they're going to go. No, be entertaining. Check. They're entertaining every week. But you can't lose every week. Dan Campbell can't lose every week. So here's a place where you should get a win. All right, Mark, you're up.
All right. I'm going to pick the Falcons at the Bucks.
It's a good game.
I'm surprised this is still hanging around here.
I could have taken that with the first overall pick, and it was no better or worse than like the next 7 games.
You know why?
Thank you for your input.
I'm just not enjoying anything about the Bucks this season. Kind of makes me sad. And
they're getting healthier. They put up 31 points. It's
last
a strange game.
Pretty
but
good.
Like, he threw for almost 400 yards.
I can't give many credit for 31 points on Sunday night.
Why?
Because it was just junk. The game's over. Half their points.
Well, then we can take away all of the Lions' points this season. What are you talking about?
I said what I said, and I stand by it.
They moved the ball early and often the whole game. That was easily their best performance.
Well, they're getting healthier. All right.
Brady has not lost 3 games in a row in 20 years. So I think they're under pressure.
He's also on the injury report with a finger and a shoulder.
I'm not concerned about that. At this stage, are you?
That's nice of you. I'm sure he's concerned.
It's not. I think the idea that Tom Brady is not going to suit up and be ready to go is not happening. How do the Falcons deal with this? Are they? Do they do what they did last week? Where I think they love the way they ran the ball. I don't know if you could do that against Tampa Bay, but it's Kyle Pitts also has been completely invisible for the Falcons. That's another way they could go around this. But I found the Falcons have been one of the more interesting teams to watch, and Arthur Smith, one of the better offensive coaches, and Mariota is up and down. But I think they'll hang around in this thing.
Do you want to hear a great take from Brady? You know, Brady is obviously, as we just said, he's been playing in the league for over 20 years. He's seen it all. And he was asked today, this Dave Ely, who sends me these nugs from the newsroom.
It's like, nice of him.
Hey, this is good for the show. This is good for the show. And more often than not, he's spot on. Tom Brady was asked about all the teams sitting at 2-2. Here's what Tom had to say.
I think there's a lot of bad football from what I watch. You know, I watch a lot of bad football, a lot of poor quality of football. That's what I see.
That's interesting.
I think he's right, though.
Well, offenses are struggling. The passing game, which is what he cares about. And he's right. It's like the best part of football, I would say. It's struggling. The yards per attempt are down at a level that has not been seen since Tommy was in about his, fifth season, 2006.
He looks skinny there, huh?
He has since the summer.
Yeah, these Wednesday different press conferences, he looks sunken, a little sunken.
I mean, he's going through some things. We know that.
He was actually asked about it today.
When you're a little older, but you're also in like great shape and there's not much flab, it shows up in a different way than maybe when you were 15 years ago. You know what I mean?
He looks slight compared to years past.
For people that are listening to the audio, if you want to check out the video version of the show, which you can get on YouTube and on the NFL channel through NFL Plus. Is that all right? Yep.
and on the network on Saturday.
And of course, on NFL Network.
And on Sky Sports on Saturday.
But yeah, so look at him. Look at his shoulders. He just looks, I don't know, maybe it's been a tough 8 months or so for Tom.
The Bucs' run defense hasn't quite been the same. They got run over last week against Kansas City. This has been a get-right game for the Buccaneers throughout the Brady time in Tampa. They've scored over 30 points against Atlanta every single time they've played. This was actually the game that kick-started their Super Bowl run. I don't know if you remember that. It was like a Saturday game where they put like a 48 on them or something like that. But this Falcons team is different. This Mariota is different. I know he only completed 7 passes, but I'm enjoying the experience. I think he's more explosive. I don't think it's just that he's wearing the number 1 in these black jerseys. He looks like a more explosive athlete. He looks back there like a really dynamic runner. Not a great thrower all the time, but he's a dynamic runner.
They have some issues with injuries. Cordarrelle Patterson, as we know, he's been moved to injured reserve, but they had some guys that stepped up this past Sunday, and we'll see.
Algier and Huntley.
Algier looked fantastic.
They looked amazing. They're giving me Titans vibes. Titans, they come off the bus, and they're like, we're bigger than you. We're stronger than you. We're manly. That's like what the Titans want to be. And that's a little bit what the Falcons are turning into.
And where was Arthur Smith before?
Bingo.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Big, strong-looking team.
The offensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans.
Where he benched Mariota, but we don't need to explore that right now.
Well, that's a different Mariota. Everything's changing.
He looks different.
It's almost like
he's almost
Mariota,
like the way that Ryan Tannehill became a different
also,
Tannehill.
It's like sometimes you take what you can get. If Ryan Tannehill was available for Marcus Mariota's price, then they would do that. But you take what you can
like
get.
What if Mariota somehow, through some type of voodoo curse, is sucking the muscle mass and power from Tom Brady? And you're actually seeing it manifest in how they physically look.
Yeah, because like it's just a thought. It's explosive. Explosive movement.
Patterson is out, but we'll see if the young guys could still play the guitar for another week. And also Kyle Pitts, who again was, he had like a 25-yard catch, first play from scrimmage, and then didn't have another
reception. I wish I drafted this.
And I think he also has an ankle issue. So we'll see if he's going to be on the field, but they have moved the ball without him for the most part this year.
This is for first place. I made a mistake.
You could do a trade. Great. Marcus, chance. Whenever you get a chance to trade with Greg, you can
You can concoct an offer, but right. I like
remember,
this game too.
Remember me just like raking them over the coals last year and I got multiple firsts out of it?
I thought you did an excellent job with that trade.
You want to make an offer? We're going to take a break.
He's going to make an offer to me. I want to keep this game. So you make one to me.
That's a nice play. Yeah. We're going to take a break. And when we get back, there's going to be a trade offer from Greg to Mark. And let's see what happens.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
All right, we're back. Greg, you've spent the last 25 minutes pondering what
what you got.
You're going to do. Here is the offer. You really are into this sneaky into the Falcons-Bucks.
I know.
1 p.m. Eastern
I always
tilt.
Have the Bucks live. All right, how about if I give you the team of ATL, Lions-Patriots, and...
A first.
What do you mean a first?
Future first.
I'll bring in the food item of your request.
Well, I mean, he doesn't like food, and it's free food here.
We have free, excellent free food here. That was you spent 25 minutes coming up with that?
It was not 25 minutes. It was 5 seconds.
And oh, that
how
is.
How about we give?
If Aaron Rodgers heard that, he'd be questioning you.
Let's give him another chance down the road to think this again. But I'm
you
saying no to that.
You
got to
offer
no to
a
that.
Future draft pick. I got to say.
Okay. I'll give you a, yeah, future considerations.
Come back to me later. I've hung up the phone right now.
Fuck you, Greg. Oh, no, new guy.
Why? Why would that be?
All right, I am up, and it is Slim Pickens here. So let's go. The Tennessee Titans traveling to Landover. See, a lot of people don't know. Landover, not Washington. To face the Commanders. Not really excited to watch the Commanders in real time. They don't do it for me. I have them down at 29 now in the power rankings. They really did not feel like an organization that was competitive against the Cowboys and Cooper Rush. And I know everybody's hot in the pants about Cooper Rush right now, but you know, when Cooper Rush is throwing bombs downfield with the game already in hand, you're just being disrespected at that point. And Washington is just not getting a lot of respect right now at 1-3, last place in the NFC East. So you have that situation. The pass protection is poor for Carson Wentz. He never seems comfortable. Everything's hard for the Commanders on offense. He's always throwing into tight windows. You don't want Carson Wentz thrown into tight windows. So now you have a situation where the Titans are coming off a win, coming off two wins, in fact, to get back to solid ground. They let the Colts back into that game after jumping out ahead, but they did a good job calming things down, closing that game out. In general, this feels like a great spot for the Titans, who got out to an 0-2 start last year, to really kind of feel good about themselves by beating up on a lesser Commanders team. That's what I see. I know they didn't do anything in Gravedigger in the second half before they were able to close that game out late. They did nothing. At one point, midway through the fourth quarter, I think they had 10 total yards of offense in the second half. So you want to see some consistency, but Derrick Henry looks great. The Commanders are not good, and that's why. Justin Graver.
Ooh, is he going to do it?
Lock up the Tennessee Titans to win their third consecutive game, beating up on Joe Theismann's Pentagon men.
This is exactly the type of game the Titans always come out super flat in and lose. So I'm terrified of what's going to happen. But
yeah, but you've been saying that every week about the Titans. You keep picking against them and have
paper,
all this naysayer talk.
I know. I'm annoyed. Why did I not lock them up? They did deliver for the Rainmaker.
Yes. On paper, the Titans should dominate this game, but we'll see who can step up in the receiving core.
I love how your mind is just a total torture trap at all times, yes, Greg, on this episode in particular.
Burks, go ahead. Dealing with a turf toe issue.
No, wait, start over. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I hurt you there. I'm
Titans receivers, who knows who's going to be the playmaker because Treylon Burks dealing with a turf toe issue. So Kyle Phillips still has like a shoulder thing. Maybe he'll be back and healthy for this game. Maybe Josh Gordon gets elevated from the practice squad.
What is he, like 38 years old at this point?
I'm not talking about Josh Gordon.
I know. So that's where the Titans offense is at.
I did not like the look of that.
Yeah, but they have Woods. They have.
I didn't like the look of that Burks injury either. And I know. It's turf toe, and that's something that can stick with
like
you.
He was literally like hopping down the field instead of running a route. That was a bizarre
play. I feel like they're coming. The Titans are coming, and they get a little better every week.
And a little healthier on defense
every week.
Henry
looks great to me.
Yep, he looked right.
I don't think they're there, and they might not. I don't know if they'll get there, but the reason they keep having these fall-offs is the offensive line consistency is just not there. For the most part, they're losing battles, and they have like a couple drives where they get over it, but that it's hard to be a good team where for long stretches their offensive line is not good. Like they're hoping to be average, and I don't think they're average yet.
Dennis Daly, who the Titans traded for like in the last moments before the season started, is now the starting left tackle because Taylor Lewan tore his ACL again and is out for the year. Nicholas Petitfrere, a third round rookie, is starting at right tackle. Aaron Brewer.
Not playing well. He was the one who got.
They're run blocking well, but their pass protection is abysmal.
Yeah. How about Stonehouse? You've been keeping an eye on Stonehouse? We got a situation here in the punter.
Developing news.
The punter punch bowl mixer. What is it? You know, the kicker club gets a lot of love.
Right. Nobody. Because it's at a local gymnasium. It's not. There's no velvet ropes.
Do you know how angry it is? How angry Bill Belichick is right now that the Titans found some undrafted rookie named Stonehouse with long flowing locks who is just booming week after week. This guy's a weapon. Stonehouse.
I like, listen, we know we can trust.
What's his name? Ricky? Ryan?
Ryan Stonehouse became the first punter in NFL history to have an average punt distance of 55 or more yards in three straight games.
Okay. I'm not crazy. It felt like one of the best punting performances I've ever seen in my life a week ago.
Did you bring up Danico Autry?
I did not bring up Danico Autry.
He's been really good. Him and Jeffrey Simmons. So you lose Harold Landry. You lost your left tackle. But this is a well-coached team that they're not. I don't think they're a powerhouse, but I think they're going to be okay, and they're going to win 9 or 10 games, and this will be one of those
wins.
Not to bury Mike.
They could.
Not to bury Ron Rivera, but he kind of made a comment this week, you know, hey, we need a little time. You know, it's like talking about time. You know, this is what we've got right now. And I kind of look over on the other sideline. I'm like, Mike Vrabel didn't need any time. Mm-hmm. He's kind of looked like a Mike Vrabel team each and every year he's been there.
Rivera hinted at maybe big changes coming, and it made me think of potentially Carson Wentz at some point taking a seat. I could see it.
As we all know,
you got a rookie
to really
there too.
Go ahead and start to take command.
Heineke again, though, right?
Oh no, I think we will see.
It's Sam Howell.
Sam Howell showed us a little something.
Sam
in the
Howell
preseason.
Was like a pretty great player in the preseason. I'm just saying, like, if Wentz just continues to downslide.
And on the Titans, hey, Austin Hooper, make a play. It's been a while. Been
that's like what we said years. In Cleveland too.
Yeah,
that's
been about 3 years.
It's not gonna happen.
Somebody's gonna step up and make some plays if Burks is out. All right, let's move on. I gotta grab a late game here. So Zeuser's gonna grab Niners at Panthers, and whatever. It is what it is. See Baker Mayfield fire a ton of passes into the offensive line, into the defensive line, and then we'll see if the Niners can build off. Which was, I thought, a statement game on Monday night against the Rams where they said, hey, this is us. Like the guys that at the end of last season and we were making a run into the playoffs and then nearly got to the Super Bowl. Like we're still those guys. This is that team. And we don't need Jimmy G to be a stud. We just need him to get the ball into the hands of our guys and they will do the rest. Debo Samuel at the top of that list. I actually had a little bit of like a hesitation in Fantasyland, for instance, with Debo. Is that could he put that year back together again, you know, 2 years in a row? He's still doing that thing. So even though Brandon Ayuk has not really had a big game yet and hasn't jumped out, and George Kittle has been mysteriously silent so far this year, Samuel's still taking over games. And Garoppolo, with each passing week, I think is going to get more comfortable. And I think the Niners are going to be all right with that defense. they're going to win 12 games.
I mean, it makes you just think of last year when they were peaking. Like, the defense is so dominant, and if you get the yards after the catch from Samuel, this is an environment that Jimmy G can thrive in. The thing is always with Jimmy G and the turnovers, and if he can keep it clean the way he did against the Rams, you're fine.
He's a beast, Samuel. I mean, he's just – you cannot bring him down with one man, and that's such a weapon. I would like to see, Greg, what is up with George Kittle? Why? Because this offense can be better, but it's really – you know, do you put that on the quarterback play, or is there something else going on? Is Kittle physically right? I don't know.
You do wonder the position that he plays and the style of play that he's had and the amount of different injuries. I think it's probably fair to assume he's not as explosive an athlete as he was 5 years ago. And maybe that's a big part of it. It's sad.
Yeah. And as far as the Panthers go, I'd like to see Christian McCaffrey being used. Like, you talk about it, Greggy. And it's an argument that sets up well for you that, oh, but Teddy Bridgewater in the offense was good. But it sucked with Darnold, and now it sucks with Mayfield. But Teddy's good. Like, that version of Christian McCaffrey, I'm not saying he's a lesser player now, but they used him in a different way back with Teddy. He was running
routes.
Wasn't
he hurt that whole year?
Teddy, he was.
Am I crazy?
I don't think so. I think that was the Teddy Monster year, wasn't it?
I mean, if we're going to talk about George Kittle as his body not being the same, McCaffrey's missed half his career.
I think
McCaffrey looks
different.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. They did not coincide. McCaffrey missed the Teddy.
Well, then that blows up my point. Teddy is just a stud. I stand down everything
He's
I was about
a
to
stud.
Say.
They were just like an average offense.
But I would like
point.
To see. My point is more like this: McCaffrey just like run between the tackles and take a screen every once in a while. I'm not sure he's being used in the way to maximize what he can give to the team. And it just feels like this is going to be potentially ugly.
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Justin.
I agree. This could be potentially ugly. The Niners have a few things working against them. A short week, long distance, early kickoff.
Where
but
are
they are just so much better than the Panthers. And I feel like this defensive line is going to overwhelm Baker Mayfield all day. So I am locking up the Niners.
Okay. Right here under the 6.5, all right.
Yeah, this is my first, like, borderline
No, that's a good
test.
Lock, though.
That was a tough week
for
feeling
good about it.
Good work.
You got to be feeling good about it.
I feel okay about it.
I feel great about it. Let's switch over, but that wouldn't be right.
The early kickoff, long road trip on a short week is, like, gives me a little hesitancy, but it's such a big
spread. How about the fact that they're the worst offense in the league against the best defense
in
the league?
Right, well, you're playing an awful team.
That seems
like a strong thing. Kyle Shanahan said going into this game, the Panthers could be 4-0. What are you talking about? They have the worst yards per play.
Gamesmanship, my boy.
Just coach speak.
By far. Nick Bosa, by the way, leads the NFL in pressures by 8.
He's a good player.
So maybe I got to take Crosby out of all-team first, bro. There's a lot of good pass rushers. So maybe it's Bosa. Parsons, Crosby.
Now, you're on the Geno Smith train in the NFC West, but I have an NFC West dog as well. You know who that is, right? His name is Hufanga.
Okay.
How about Hufanga ending that game on Monday night?
Yeah. I mean,
Hufanga.
He's your all-pro safety right now.
He's my guy. He's my dude. Now, you need a guy, Marky.
I will. Mark seems annoyed that you have a guy, guy.
Sorry,
it's also not an early game, by the way, Justin. It's in the afternoon.
Oh, good point.
It is on the East Coast. But
all right, what do we have? What do we need? What do we have?
Not a lot.
Last pick?
I'm not that annoyed by it. We've got 2 games left.
All right. Who's up, Mark?
It's me. And I'm going to take I'll take Houston at Jacksonville.
All right.
You know how Jacksonville owns the Colts?
Oh, yeah.
Houston has won 9 straight against Jacksonville. I think that would be a disaster for the Jaguars to lose this thing. I mean, for me, Trevor Lawrence, what happened in the rain, the 4 fumbles, a number of them were on him. Not seeing pressure. One of them just slipped out of his hands. But you can't also throw a terrible pick that he threw in that game.
The whole thing was a toughie.
It was a bad situation. But I expect him to bounce back. And I for me, the reason I'm watching this is really just because of his development. And I think this is a situation where you got to go in and basically at home in Jacksonville dominate a Texans team that's not as bad as some people
think. I feel like I'm a little bit exhausted by, like, everyone needs to decide whether Trevor Lawrence is great or not every single week. Like, well, he's either a bust or, oh, this is the big step. Like, I just, can we just let
who's
the guy
that?
Develop?
It's fine just to let him develop. Just watch a game with him. That's all.
No, I'm just saying there's a lot of, I'm not saying you, Mark. I'm saying there's a lot of talk out there after each week that he's, oh, this is it. He's on his own. He's on his way. He's the guy everybody thought. Then he has a bad game. It's like, maybe he's not a generational quarterback. Last year, can we understand this was a unique circumstance? Last year was an atomic poop show. And let's give him some runway and see where he's at in November.
Yeah, I think this is a great test. Not necessarily for him, but for the Jaguars and where they are. They're 7-point favorites here. This game is not lockable. I mean, the 49ers are lockable, and this game's not lockable.
The Jaguars are a favorite in a game that's unlockable.
I mean, and...
How about that?
I'm not that comfortable with that. I would not lock
Nor
them.
Am I.
Especially when they've lost 8 straight against the Texans. So to me, this is... A game for the Jaguars to show we are really good up front on both sides. We're going to grind this Texans team down. Maybe it'll be challenging for a while. It's a division team that does know us, but they are the more talented team. The Texans are 4-28-1 against the rest of the NFL, while they're 4-0 against the Jaguars the last 2 years.
So weird. Texans stink.
I thought they should have learned something from last week, though. Lovie Smith is so concerned, Pepe Hamilton too, about like, hey, we're going to run go coming off the bus. Like, that's who we are as a team. We're going to run on first down. We're going to run on second down. And I get it. Damian Pierce is great. But Davis Mills had by far the best 2.5, 3 quarters of his season, looked pretty good when they were just in, we got to throw it every down mode. Like, throw on first and second down. That's how you get a good running game, because those are the better downs to throw the ball. Like, almost everyone else in the NFL has gotten to this point.
Too many,
but the
too
Texans
many drops.
Have not.
Too many drops by the Texans receivers. Damian Pierce had the big touchdown run, so that hopefully can get him unlocked and went over 100 yards total offense there. But yeah, I just don't see them winning too many games this year.
They're asking a lot of Stingley, asking him to cover one on one. Derek Stingley, the opposing, and he, I think he looks pretty good for the most part, but that's the right. Hard ask. There's a lot of open guys for that Jaguars team.
Greggy,
Doug Pedersen's
the last
great.
Pick of the draft goes to you, and this has become almost a tradition on the show. The Chicago Bears just are not tickling our fancy right now.
For a reason.
You know, and the Vikings aren't totally, not that they deserve to be drafted last, but there's not a different Vikings team this year. It's kind of the same team.
Yeah, they see that.
They are. It's unsettling that they might be 4-1. Like that, these two teams combined shouldn't be 5-3 combined. I don't know. I think we got to have a conversation about Justin Fields with Phil at some point. Phil Wesseling, the number one Justin Fields fan.
Oh, he saw him as Jordan-esque. Basketball's not the same
because
as football, but
right now it's a tough situation.
Football is completely different than basketball.
Everyone's still there's a lot of the Fields cognoscenti who still want to put it all on what's going on around him, but there are some pretty unique things that he does in terms of holding the ball so long and not taking the easier throws early in the down that you can put on him. His time to throw is higher than anyone else. He is converting pressure into sacks at a rate that's outrageous. I think if you combined he has 34 completions combined this year, and he has 33 sacks plus scrambles this year. So it's just like a weird combo. And like, remember everyone just blamed everything on Matt Nagy?
Oh yeah, we talked about this recently.
Okay.
Well, so I mean,
I
was just saying about.
I had a Matt Nagy passing game to watch right now, because that was a lot better than what's going on.
I mean,
right
to
now.
Your point, he had 174 yards last week. That was his best output of the year. That
had
was
two great throws, but also had some very concerning moments.
It was the 106th most output of any quarterback all season, and 8 less than he had a year ago. So there is like statistically a regression, but I see it also just from the eye. This player is just not growing.
Matt Eberflus is in a tough situation here, because Fields still represents a future, or the preferred future, of the Bears as an organization, but he's not able to lead the offense with any level of efficiency. But you're tied to him. So it's like, does Eberflus, you know, what does he do? Does he even have the power institutionally to make a move if he feels like Fields is just not the guy either right now or ever.
And like, why do you have to stick with him though? I don't think they are. They're a completely new regime, and they have an absolute mountain of cap space next year. I'm just saying a lot can happen in the offseason where you don't have to stick with Justin Fields.
You're right.
I think you kind of do for a while because Simeon's the next guy, and I think you can question like, is Luke Getsy the guy? Because it's also a first time head coach.
I'm saying Greg,
offensive coordinator from a picked over coaching tree. At some point, like, not everyone from this coaching tree, Getsy's from Green Bay.
Keeping him next season. I'm not saying you dump him for Simeon now, but like, team building wise, do you have to go into this next year with this quarterback necessarily if this is who he is?
No, it's early to have that conversation, but no. I mean, and you don't even have to stick
that's your opinion.
For the whole season.
There is the Week 5 preview. Again, Colts Broncos recap, Friday fun show. By the way, let's check in on the, we're at the quarterish poll. Let's check in on the lock standings. I think I'm going to like what I'm going to see here. Oh, some things never change. The Zeus are 3-1 on top. Greggy, Sessy, Gravy, and the Westbros all at 2-2. So just like the NFL, 2-2 is everywhere.
How did they decide the order of the 2-2s?
What are you thinking? You should be second over Greg?
Not necessarily. I just like to understand how they decided that.
Drew Christensen and Justin Graves.
Does Drew have a mic? Gravedigger,
Wes.
I did not send them in this order, so this was reordered because
that's even more suspicious.
Drew said specifically what Drew just said to me?
Yeah.
He likes Greg more.
Yeah,
that's what he said.
He said he likes Greg more.
He literally said
that's an answer.
So that is going to be an issue.
Drew, I tried to put myself last, humbly, but that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Drew, you're probably going to regret
stuff
that.
Because we're allowed to take favorites. So if you just picked like favorites, you should probably go like a 2/3 clip.
Do you agree that Drew is going to live to regret that statement?
Drew doesn't seem like a man with a lot of regrets, but he'll definitely feel the pushback.
He's kind of a zaddy in a bear cave, Christensen.
I think he'll live.
Huddle up. I'll take care of you.
I think he'll know it's good for the show content-wise,
right.
And that's what
he
really cares about.
I think that's exactly what he was doing.
Right. Right. All right. Good stuff. thank you to everybody for listening.
Mark is spitting out right now.
No, I have only begun the investigation, and we'll see where it goes.
Don't ask scary questions if you don't want scary answers. We will be back Friday, as I said.
This is a Watergate-level disaster.
And we'll be back with a recap of all these games. Thank you to everybody. And again, yes, NFL Network. Every Saturday you could check out this program in Technicolor. On your basic cable package of choice. Maybe it's a premium tier. I don't know how it works. But if you have NFL Network, check us out. Until then, eat the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Brakes? We can save you 15% on that. We have OE quality Duralast brake pads and rotors in stock, ready for pickup or delivery. We also have calipers, brake fluid, tools, and anything else you'll need to do the job right. When you get Duralast pads and rotors together, you'll save 15%. It's just part of what makes us America's number one brakes destination.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.